Hey there, you're with Disembodied Podcast. This is Evie Escher. This week's guest is Brandon Handley. Brandon's own journey of transformation has included struggling with alcohol addiction to becoming a life coach. Through his journey, he got to know his true self and developed a deeper connection with the universe, capital U. Now he's got a platform that weaves together coaching skills, life experiences, and practices like breath work and energy work to serve others. Brandon initially developed his coaching career by pursuing three life coaching certifications along with NLP and cognitive behavioral therapy in order to deliver powerful, transformational experiences to his clients. Concurrent with assisting clients, he had an awakening experience, which ultimately shifted his focus from being a life coach to becoming a transformational coach. He's now dedicated to guiding people to their own awakening experience and converting their experience into purpose, meaning, and vision. Through his platform, Spiritual Dope, he shares practical applications and stories as they relate to spirituality, the law of attraction, and coaching tools. I have to say, I really enjoyed looking at his blog. He has a recent blog post from April called Gratitude with Attitude, Harnessing the Dark Side of Thankfulness to Reshape Your Existence. I love that there's a dark side to thankfulness. I wasn't thinking about that until now, until I saw that blog post, but that's awesome. I love it. So let's get to Brandon. Sit tight. Here we go.
Brandon, welcome to Disembodied Podcast. It's great to have you.
Yeah, it's so great to be here. You and I connected a bit ago, and we went through some special efforts to make today happen. So glad we're able to do it.
Yeah, you've got your own podcast called Spiritual Dope. And you said that podcasting kind of gave you a spiritual awakening. So could you go into that a little?
Sure. I think probably been about 7 years back now. I wasn't into any type of personal development or we'll just call it any professional growth or anything. I just kind of living and letting life live. And I got turned on to some podcasts, got interested in doing it for myself. Just kind of got bit by the bug. I saw several podcasts and the people that were doing the podcast. I was like, well, if that guy can do it, if that person can do it, why not me? And what I did my podcast on was something that was near and dear to me was fatherhood. And, that forced me to really inspect myself and what was going on immediately around me with my children as well as myself. Not growing up with a father, it was super important for me to be a good one and kind of share the journey. And as that kind of happened, I realized I was impacting others' lives as well as changing my immediate life and my immediate family's lives by doing this, as our children are like an immediate mirror of kind of who we are in those moments. And I realized some changes that needed to happen, or I wanted them to happen, so that I could emulate more so who I would like my children to grow up into versus who I was at that point in time. I'm realizing just how much influence our parents have on us, right? Like, I mean, as I grew up, like, I kind of turned into my mom or my influential characters in my my childhood and my teen years. So in making some of those adjustments, I started to also tune more into like the universe, right? We talk a little bit about, what do I think that might be or whatever. I still don't have a great answer for that, but as I started to tune into that, having had a hippie mom, right? Born in San Francisco in the late 70s. I mean, there's only, so many different directions you can go with that. But for me, it was I came out of it with a, hippie mom, hippie parents, and just kind of this upbringing of awareness and spiritual leaders more so than religions and, dogma and this type of thing. So when I started to feel like this kind of connection with universal source, I freaked out a little bit because it was, I was like, what is going on here? It was kind of like, I could feel my energy pulsating with the universe's energy and just reconnecting or recognizing the connection. You know, reconnection is fine, right? But recognizing the connection that I hadn't been so aware of before, and kind of diving in real deep into that, I started to chase it, right? Because you know, I think that you hear about Christianity's talk about, you know, reborn, you know, born again people and whatnot. And literally I had been reborn, and I had to learn a whole new language to understand what I was going through. I was like, I even told my wife, I was freaking out. I was like, I don't know what's going on. I'm feeling this way, feeling like very tuned in. I'm feeling very energized. I'm feeling, you know, all these things I have a colored past of, you know, drug use, but I hadn't been doing anything for years drug wise. And I hadn't even been drinking for, I think, about 6 or 7 months. She goes, have you been doing anything? I was like, absolutely not. That's the problem. I feel like this, but nothing's going, like, it's just natural high. And so, and I told her, I said, I don't know if this is going to get any better before it gets any worse. And that was a big vulnerability piece on me and our relationship. You know, opened up to her, and you know, she's you know, been so great, and just saying, well, all right, definitely sounds a little scary. I don't know what you're going through, but I'm ride or die. We're here, you know, we're doing this, And so you know, that in and of itself kind of really strengthen the relationship. But like I said, I had to learn a whole new language. I was calling people. I had a Buddhist reverend friend who I reached out to. I said, Sam, I help. What am I experiencing here? I had a really, really good friend who was super deep into Christianity. I said, Rudy, what's happening here? And as I learned that, like, hey, this is kind of like a normal, like, thing, but people just, you know, everyday people aren't talking about it, right? So I chased that down for a little bit, and just kept leaning into it. And I transitioned from a fatherhood podcast into like a kind of a law of attraction prosperity practice was the name of the podcast. I was kind of still hiding behind the veil and not living my absolute truth in, like, sharing that I'm just like all on spirituality. But I was like, give them what they want, sell them what they want, give them what they need. Right. So I was like, all right, well, people are always like, you know, how can you help me make money? So I was like, prosperity practice. But really just sharing how, for me anyways, and what I had found was that it was really a spiritual game. Podcast number 3 came out of Spiritual Dope. I was like, I can't hide anymore. Came out of the closet as full on spiritual.
Yeah, like it's a crazy thing.
Right.
So I'm really curious to know what your Buddhist friend said versus what your Christian friend said when you said you were having this crisis.
Yeah, well... Man, do we have to identify it as a crisis though? Right. Like, I would say, like, you know, where were these people in my moment of need? I guess you can say it's a crisis, but it feels, where were they? Like, man, they were there to accept. Right. And that was the beauty of it. Right. Like, each person was so accepting of it, and they had their own terminology. My friend Rudy in Christianity, I don't know, you know, what his, you know, specific Christianity was, but he's like, hey, that's, and we're sitting there, we're having, you know, we're at an Indian buffet, and we're talking. I said, Rudy, I was like, I don't know what's going on. Like, I'm talking in low tones. I'm not quiet. I'm like, I don't know what's happening. And he goes, oh, that's testimony that you testifying to, like, you know, the presence of the Lord or whatever. I was like, there's something for this where you come from. I was like, that's awesome. I was like, here I am, you know, feeling like, you know, oh shit, it's just me. And nobody else has ever, you know, gone through this thing. Am I going crazy? Is what's happening? Absolutely not. You know, there's a space and a place for it, I think, in each religion. And my Buddhist reverend friend, Sam, you know, he's just, again, just like kind of open to it. Didn't really have a terminology for it. What I do recall, though, is just like him, you know, doing like an absolute visual about kind of coming into alignment with who the truth of who you are. Right. And that's, I really think what happened was I came into alignment with the truth of who I am, living within my truth, whatever that is for each person. But like when that happens, it's like, boom. Kind of like, you know, everything becomes clear and crystallized. I had one other friend that I reached out to too, that you know, he'd been 20 years sober and a person for me, and again, just a commonplace in people that have kind of given up some of their addictions, or, you know, let go of some of their vices. This is quite common, where you tune back into source.
Why not just go like with the Buddhist path or the Christian path, though? You know, why stay kind of in a non-dedicated religious space?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I'm still feeling it out, still feeling my way forward. And the question that you ask is, you know, it's a good one. There's a guy, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Edwin Bryant. He's done a really nice, I think, commentary on the Yoga Sutras. He's still alive and he's teaching in Rutgers University. And I heard him give a talk. He goes, sooner or later, you just got to, you know, stop picking and cherry picking out of each one and just pin the tail on a donkey and just go with it, right? It's a great question. I'm still exploring, right? It's, yeah, if you think about it, like a visual that's coming to my mind, it's like, it's kind of like raindrops and water that sooner or later, you know, finds its like river and joins into the ocean. I don't know.
Well, I'm not saying you have to choose any one spiritual path. I'm just kind of curious sometimes why people, they have kind of an awakening and then they have these friends that are in kind of they're in the confines of a certain belief system. And sometimes I wonder why people don't just go with their friends. In this case, you have friends of different religions, but I don't know, that it speaks kind of highly of you that you have friends from different faiths and nobody seems to be judging each other. You guys can, you have a certain level of tolerance for them and they for you, right?
Yeah. I mean, I would say we accept each other as is, as are. And I think that's, you know, generally how we should be, right? Like, yeah, go, we're all on our own path. I'm not going to go over Rudy and be like, man, you should be Buddhist. What you're doing right now is, it's cool. It's been working for you, but you really ought to try this other thing. Might be better for you, right? Hey, roll on your own path. I just haven't found one. You know, I spend a lot of time listening to, you know, the Vedanta Society of New York. If I had to go anywhere, it's that right now. But I think each day is just a little bit more clarity and a little bit closer.
Yeah, I like Vedanta too. I think I joined for a while and got their monographs some years ago. But you know, it's like everything. I have such a high capacity to want to learn things and learn about things, but I have limited time in the day.
sure. We all do.
I can only pursue so many spiritual paths without going bonkers, you know?
100%. Yeah.
So what transformational work did you start doing with yourself, you know, as far as like spiritual practices?
Well, I think first and foremost, I started making time for myself. Right. First and foremost is like, all right, well, I didn't have any like kind of morning routine or exercise. Everything I'd been doing was dedicated to work, my family, my wife, my kids, or somebody else. There was no specific point in time where I was like, well, I should go do some work on myself. I should carve out some time for me. And once I started to do that, the practices looked like, you know, meditation. The practices looked like, you know, I'm not sure if you're familiar with what first turned me onto was called Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod and those guys. And it's, you know, you wake up, you do some silence. That's the meditation. You do some activity. Maybe you do some stretching. I do jujitsu now, right? Reading something, not just like the comics, but reading something maybe timeless. So I spent time reading like either Stoicism. I did a Course in Miracles one year. Right now I'm finishing up, you know, whatever spiritual books. A lot of times I'll, you know, dig deeper into breathwork. So reading something timeless, right? Something that's not so, you know, hyper-focused on all the craziness going on around right now. And that space just kind of continued to be there for me, right? Once you create that space for yourself, you begin to feel what it's like to, I guess, give yourself the love, right? So love yourself first so that you can love others.
Do you have your kids kind of studying some things too, or do you not bother with it? I'm kind of curious, like, because this is relatively new for you, right? It's not that.
I'm like 7 years in, you know?
Okay. Okay. It's not that new.
I mean, so I've had them do, I would have them listen to Alan Watts and Wayne Dyer to go to sleep. We have conversations. I don't force anything on them. They're hyper aware of me and what I'm doing here in this. But I think that no is the short answer. I don't force anything on them, but I allow them to they have access to me and it anytime they want. So if they become curious, awesome. If they choose a different path because this isn't the path for them, then also cool. I support them in that.
So what does breath work do for you? Like how, what has it changed about your life? I mean, do you think you're just like less anxious or what is it?
Yeah. So, you know, I think a lot of us, you know, especially if you listen to this podcast, or I'm sure you're on some type of mindfulness or meditation train. Right. And so I probably did about 4 or 5 years of just, you know, waking up, being mindful, doing meditation. And along that path, as most of us have learned, when you first start, your mind just like going any which way it wants to go. Your mind's like, sorry, sucker, I'm on my own. I'm going to do whatever I want. And it can be a little challenging. Now, that being said, like what I found in meditation was some of the stuff that you're talking about. I was able to calm down, slow down, and relax a little bit, right? But it's still challenging. What I understood through, Rick Hansen's Biodharma? Really good book. I could be talking about the book wrong, but was that meditation wasn't meant to like still your mind, at least not from his perspective. What he was sharing was that it was to learn how to focus, right? So once I figured that out, you know, started counting and so meditation became focused, but it was still a challenge. And so when you do breath work, and when I do breath work, it's kind of like what I tell people, and when I teach it, it's like meditation on steroids, right? Or mindfulness on steroids, however you want to kind of look at it, because those are also two different spaces, mindfulness and meditation. So I liken it more to meditation, because you're learning how to focus. You're becoming focused. You're doing something. You're creating a routine. And the type of breath work that I teach, I learned a good portion of it from Soma breath work. I'm not sure if you're familiar, but it's with rhythmic breathing, specific counts with music and retentions. And so the intent is to help somebody stop thinking for a moment, right? Give it no thought, like find a pause if you haven't already, right? To your point, like, you know, anxiety and overwhelm are caused oftentimes by like all this overthinking, like, and you're like, oh, that's just how I am. I just think a lot all the time. You're like, or that's the story that you're telling yourself, right? So with the type of breath work that you're doing, you're taking control of your prefrontal cortex, which can really only think about at a maximum 4 things at a time before it's like overwhelmed with all the things, right? So what I do is, and that's something I learned from a course called Learning How to Learn, right? And they talked about that. You distract your prefrontal cortex with breath counts, the type of breath that you're doing, right? Listening to the music, and generally there's like some type of visualization going on. So now you've got everybody distracted, and you're doing something that's kind of good for yourself, right? And so for that period of time, you're in, you know, what most people call like a flow state, right? You're just doing the right thing. You're feeling good. Time stops, pauses, whatever. And you're not thinking about all the stress. You're not thinking about everything that's like freaking you out. And a lot of people, when they do it for the first time, you're like, I'm not anxious. I'm not freaking out, man. I'm like, you're not freaking out, man. It's cool. You're all right for like a minute. And when you can show them that they can have, anywhere from 5 seconds to 10 minutes of that, separation from their anxiety and overwhelm, the same for me, can you string those together for longer periods of time? And, you know, verbal results from people that I've worked with that have done just 20 minute breath work sessions. I think, busy parent lifestyle, stressed out all the time, got my job, got my kids and all these other things going on. Well, the feedback is 20 minutes. Even if I do 20 minutes today, what day is it? Today's Friday. And the results of that, for like 2.5 days, I could be feeling the results of that until like possibly Monday, just by 20 minutes of like breath work. Now, I don't know what else you can do in 20 minutes that you're going to feel those results, that type of impact, that they're going to help you to become calm and relaxed. And, you know, just to, I guess, put a pin in it there is that you're disrupting your autonomic nervous system that's usually stuck in fight or flight and probably has been for a long, long time. And when you do the breath work, it puts you back into, gets you out of fight or flight and gets you into like a rest and digest. And it's pretty powerful stuff.
I was not aware actually that it could last, one session of breath work could last for days. I was kind of thinking it was more of a temporary type effect because I know that I have a friend who's into breath work, and he was always telling me that people just generally don't think throughout the day as they're working how little they're breathing deeply. Like they're always breathing shallow breaths because they're kind of moving from this to that. And they're, you just start breathing very shallowly throughout the day. And he said, if you just did like 10 minutes in the middle of the day, it really changes your whole like stress level. But I always thought it was temporary. I always thought it had an effect maybe for a couple hours or something, but 2 days is pretty significant.
You're changing your whole body chemistry, right? And again, the shallow breathing comes from oftentimes when you're shallow breathing, you're breathing straight into your chest, and your chest is, and your neck muscles and your shoulders are actually auxiliary breathing muscles. And when you do, diaphragmatic breathing, right? You straighten your body up, you give the space, you've got like another 30% of the lungs capacity that you're usually not even using because most of us are slouched over. Or again, we've been so stuck in fight or flight our entire lives that we feel like it's normal to breathe into our chest. That's not, like you go look at a baby, you look at a dog, they're breathing in their chest. You look at other animals, they're not their chest, you see their stomachs expanding. Especially as men, we're like, puff up, get your chest out there, blah, blah, blah. Well, great. Now you're stuck in fight or flight. And a good chance of like, you know, since you're stuck in that and in that posture and pose, that's sending the signal to you. You are leveraging your body to send the signal to your brain, right? In this as well, versus just allowing it to, like I said, this is our default mode network. It's just like, all right, it's normal for us to be in fight or flight. Let's just stay in this position all the time. Right, man, how stressful. You don't even know how stressed you think you're stressed. You don't know how stressed you are until you're not stressed. You're like, wow, I was living that way all the time. How's that even possible?
Well, and we layer it also with a lot of caffeine and probably not the right diet with like balanced protein, fat, carb ratios, yeah, and all that. And so what happens is you get almost like a, what is it, like a hyperglycemic effect or something as well, if you don't eat right. And there's so many things like layering the stress and making it worse.
We're not doing a lot to improve it.
Yeah, it's hard. Right? I mean, I'm a pretty health conscious person myself, but I have to admit that, you know, I'll have like, I don't know, guacamole and chips for lunch sometimes because I get in a hurry and I don't have time to make a big elaborate spread.
Look, I had a shitty granola bar, pardon my French. I'm not sure if we can talk like that here, but like,
you can say that. Yeah.
You know, at a shitty granola bar, like I think I'm on my fourth cup of coffee and I'm thinking about eating something healthy today. But that, again, that's just our pattern. That's just how we were raised. It's just like, you know, what do you do when the Grand Canyon's there? And it's really hard to fill it back up, right? Like, how do you level the Grand Canyon? And that's kind of what we're doing. I think as Americans, we're really tough on ourselves. It's like all or nothing, right? And so there's like this rigidity to it. If we can just, you know, do like micro improvements here, breath work 5 minutes a day, you'll notice a difference. One less cup of coffee, you might like freak out just a little bit less, right? You know, all these things, they do kind of add up, and they, you know, some of them, they're not immediately noticeable. I always remember when I first started doing mindfulness practice and using Headspace, that was my gateway into it, right? I used Headspace for a couple of weeks. I was like, I don't have time for this. Like, I got other things I got to do. I can't spend 10 minutes sitting there laying resting, listening to Andy talk about the blue sky. But then I didn't do it for like a couple of weeks. I became irritable and anxious and whatever. And I was like, what is going on here? Like, I was becoming more aware of just like all the things. I was like, what is going on here? Like, what changed in the past couple weeks for me to become like irritable so easily? So like just kind of off. I wasn't on. And I was able to look back and be like, you know what? I haven't done meditation. I haven't sat with Andy for a couple weeks. And putting that back in really, really made a big difference. And you know, I keep doing it.
Well, you said you're using breath work with people that struggle with addiction as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I've been, like I said, I've faced my own demons historically. I had my father passed away from ODing on heroin. And I know what it's like to crave this external kind of source to feel better. Or again, what I really think is happening is like we're looking for that connection to source, right? And sometimes we find it, but I feel like it's kind of muted when we drink or use drugs. We're looking for this thing in this space that I personally find through breath work. Right. You find like this space of calm connectedness and just you're at peace and everything feels okay for just a little bit, not more than a little bit, especially as somebody going through recovery. And so what I do is I go and I share this tool, right? I go, we do some breath work, and 9 times out of 10, this is for certain people that are, you know, it's all guys right now for this particular session that I do, 9 times out of 10. People come out of there like, wow, thank you. Like I've been so under so much pressure, right? I felt this anxiety. This is the first time I haven't felt anxious in I don't know how long. So I just try and I tell them, I say, hey, look, this is the space we're looking for 9 times out of 10. And you can get it through simply doing breath work and you don't have to go get high. You can create that space for yourself. You can create that connection for yourself anytime. And the cool thing is that you're doing it all naturally. You're doing it with your own body. I think that that's super powerful because these are guys that I don't know what your history is in this space, but you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in your head. You know, you can be talking a lot of shit on yourself, be like, oh, I can't believe how stupid I am to end up in this situation. But, you know, help them to get out of that space. Help them to break that, again, continuous conversation that's going on there. Break away out of being in survival and show them there's a space that exists right now, wherever they are, to feel like they're thriving and connected.
What do you think men need more as far as tools, you know, maybe spiritual practice tools? Do you think that they're a lot different from women or a little different? I mean, what is your experience?
I can only tell you from the side of being a man, right? So a big piece in my journey was how somebody talked to me about, I was doing fatherhood life coaching, and we were talking about kind of my vision or whatever it was. He goes, Brandon, I don't hear a whole lot of emotion and, you know, emotional words like that you're using. I says, you know what, Charlie, you're right. And I realized at that point in time, I didn't even know, like, men have like 3 emotions, right? It's kind of like anger, love, and sex. And sex isn't even an emotion. It's just a drive. So it's like, all right, well, if you don't know what's in between like anger and love, then it defaults to either one of those, right? I'm either in love or I'm angry. I mean, that's most men, right? So it's called the Plutchik wheel, which is, I forget who, you know, it's obviously, you know, some Dr. Plutchik, but it outlines each one of the emotions. I think it's like 6.org has a really good interactive one that defines like the emotions and interchanges. And it's got this big wheel so that you can kind of go through a lot of these emotions where, and I forget, it's been a minute for me, but like I would click on like anger, I'd click on frustration. I'd be like, this is what it means. And sometimes the definitions I had in my mind weren't even correct for what I thought that emotion was. Like, oh, so being able to recognize the emotions that you're feeling, connect with them, be okay with having emotions, because as men, and I'm sure plenty of women grow up, like, you know, it's don't be led by your emotions, you know, stuff like that. We don't understand that as when we're young, right? We don't have like a whole framework for that. So when we're growing up, we're just like, all right, don't feel it. Don't feel it. Don't cut it all off. Don't feel it. What is that? Don't cry. So getting back into connection, feeling it, recognizing it, being with it, and then making a decision to act on it or not act on it is really what it means to not be driven by your emotions. Have them, recognize them, know what they are. I think that tool, the self-awareness and understanding of what it is that you're feeling, be with the feeling, and then move from there. We still work way too much from a reactive stance versus a responsive stance, right? Reaction is like knee-jerk, just kind of react to it. A response is again, all right, that's my feeling, recognize it. And leverage the breath work, right? 9 times out of 10, where you're going to recognize that you're in a state of anxiety or overwhelm or fight or flight, your chest, right? So if you recognize that your chest is just tightened up, you know now that you're in that mode. Like, so use that as a signal to be like, all right, what's getting me puffed up? And if you just drop your breath down into your belly, you know now that that's going to send a signal to your brain to go into rest or digest. But taking that just a simple breath, just that one reaction, and again, leverage like your emotion too. That I think 99% of the men could use more than anything else. And that's the starting point.
Those are good thoughts. I really like that you're drawing people's awareness to the muscles that are clenching in their body, because I don't have it so much in my chest. I have it in the back of my neck. When I get stressed, I start hunching and I start like, I get this hunkered down posture, and I get huge knots in the back of my neck if I have stress for, you know, more than a couple hours.
Yeah.
And whenever I go to a massage therapist, they're like, God, your neck's a mess, you know, get a grip on this.
Sure.
I've learned now, like when I feel that clenched feeling, I think, okay, what is it precisely that's stressing me here?
Yeah.
Is there a deadline? Is there, am I just stressing because I haven't eaten anything for hours, or what is the stress situation? And I have to kind of evaluate. And now I'll do like a lot of stretching and exercises for a while, maybe 10, 15 minutes, just to kind of get out of that clenched stance. And as soon as I find a way to relax the muscles, I don't usually do breath work. I probably should. But as soon as I relax those muscles a little, the stress goes away usually. And there's usually no good reason for the stress. It's just me kind of going, oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no. And you're just having like a bunch of reactions to like, oh, I might forget about this. Oh, I forgot about that. And they're all controllable things. They're not like, it's not like a train is coming and you're going to get run over. It's not that type of stress.
Right. We're not fighting tigers today.
Not yet.
Most likely. Not most of us. Right. Yeah. I mean, look, if you're, again, if you're feeling it in your neck, then that great signal to let that, you know, drop your belly. Right. And you'll feel it almost, you'll feel like almost a meat, like my shoulders are tight. That means I'm probably doing some type of shallow breathing. If I straighten up and do a couple breaths and just like, even if I just expand my belly, I feel it like immediate relief.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to, like I'm saying, it doesn't have to be like any type of major breath work to engage your parasympathetic nervous system. Just knowing that your body has been driving you, and you're like, wait a second, I can drive this thing. One second, let me help out here. And by sending a signal and dropping your belly, you're now taking a little bit of control of the whole body, emotion, everything else going on, and sending a signal to the body versus the body sending a signal to you. So now you're saying, we're cool, dude. We're good. Get back up there. We're all right.
Right.
Sorry
nothing
about that.
Nothing life threatening. Let's just right. move on. Yeah.
Right. Right. Get me the guac and we'll be fine.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned too, that you don't have to do a lot of fancy breath work, because I went to it was kind of like a breath work class run by a sort of yoga guru. He was from India too. And this was in Huntington Beach, I think it was. And I felt like I was going to hyperventilate with all the weird shit that we were doing. And I'm not criticizing him. What he does works, but for a new person going in there who hadn't done it before, it was super complicated. And right. He was like, no, you got to go. You got to do the snort breath and then the something breath, and you have to link them all together. And I was like, I felt like I was going to pass out, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's definitely a challenge for a number of reasons. And hence, you know, kind of spiritual dope is really meant to be the platform, who I am and all this other stuff. You asked a question earlier about like, you know, why not, you know, Hinduism, why not Buddhism? Why not? Some of that stuff's just not easily approachable, right? If you put these things on it, be like, well, I can't go do that. He's a Buddhist. I can't go do that. He's Hindu. I can't go do that. He's Catholic or whatever, right? Like, let's just have a space very similar to what you're doing, where spirituality is accessible, but like once you put your foot in, it's not like, haha, you're stuck with us now for the rest of forever, right? And the same thing with the breath work. It's like, all right, well, I'm going to give you like this one session that we do, and don't worry about, are you doing it right? Here are the three things to focus on. Generally, I say, all right, focus on whether or not you're, because a lot of the people I'm showing first time, I give them an example of like what we're looking for from the diaphragm, right? And you know, put your hand on your stomach, your belly and your chest, breathe down to your diaphragm. If it comes up, reaches to the chest, and you know, kind of breathe up to the chest from there, right? And then just exhale. No like special, no special anything, right? Focus on that and the rhythm that whatever's going on, right? You know, for what it's worth, and I'm not sure if you're aware already, you know, we do I do a two in, four out, usually to start with. And usually when you breathe out more than you're breathing in, you are you're setting yourself up in a rest and digest, parasympathetic, right? Versus the fight and flight. So if I do two, right? In, belly up, out through, out for four, you're setting yourself up to just calm down. So I teach that. I say just follow the breath counts. We've got breath counts going. Count on that. Follow it. You don't have to remember anything. Just focus on those couple things, right? Like, and it's called a practice. Nobody, I do jujitsu, right? I don't show up as a black belt. I show up as a white belt and I'm learning. Just, you know, everybody's got to start somewhere. You start at the beginning and you develop your own practice and do what makes the most sense for you.
Yeah, it's kind of a whatever works scenario. And some things appeal more to other people than others. So you just have to kind of pick and choose. And I think as long as you find something that works for you, that's all that matters.
That's right. I mean, look, that's all that we're out here trying to do, trying to find out what works best for us. You're working, you know, what's working best for you. You know, I think that once you hit and realize that you're on kind of like the spiritual path, how can you be of service to others so that they can recognize the greatness within themselves, that is their own spirituality, that is that they are worthy, that is that they are perfect as they are, you know, whatever it is they need to be, and help them along their paths as you're walking yours. What's the Ram Dass bit, right? We're all walking each other home.
Yeah. If you could see yourself as a small God walking around on earth with some power, and maybe empower yourself to make the world what you would want it to be for yourself and your family and your friends, make it that way for everybody and not just for your family and friends and you.
Yeah. So, that's a big piece on love thy neighbor as thyself, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, want for them, you know, as much as whatever you would want for yourself, right? You wish them happiness, wish them love, wish them good, you know, otherwise, you know, the stuff that you're sending out there sucks.
Inevitably, there are going to be some disagreements. I think there's no way to, you know, eliminate all of that, but you could. I think the more people work on themselves, you kind of have to choose your battles wisely and realize that a lot of arguments are just wasting time. They're just you asserting an ego dominance or somebody else doing that over you. And sometimes you do have to walk away and not always engage in the things that stress you. And, you know, I don't really like arguing with people very much. I have actually argued quite a bit with people.
Sure.
So I have
to hold myself.
Yeah. I have to hold myself in check and go, okay, I'm not going to take this argument. I'm going to step out.
Well, look, I mean, it's for me, it's super simple, right? That's where they are. And, you know, I don't have to, just like you don't have to engage. Like, be like, you know what? I like where you're coming from. I get it. And I don't have to verbalize all my thoughts on it, because it doesn't probably at that point in time really even matter to that person who just wants to tell you what they're thinking.
And so much of our frustration in the world is based on other people's input.
Yeah.
I think about this sometimes. It's like, if that person would stop saying what they really think, because a lot of times what they think is something that sort of takes away from other people feeling good about themselves somehow. And unfortunately, this is a bad human habit. So, you know, we're not there. We're not all enlightened yet, but we're in fits and starts. We're going to damn well get there.
Well, listen, I mean, I think, again, we're all walking each other home. We're getting there.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you have Spiritual Dope as a podcast. I'm glad that
you have
found a better life for yourself, and you're teaching your kids how to free themselves from anxiety and stuff, which is so useful.
Yeah. It's been interesting being a parent. I can say that. To allow and give them the space to be themselves versus me telling them who they should be has been so rewarding.
Yeah. And it takes some restraint on your part, I'm sure.
A whole lot. For sure. It takes a lot. But, you know, the reward is so you know, I don't know if I'm holding back tears or not. It's been so powerful. I think being, you know, for me, being a parent has been, you know, it's truly been a gift. I was joking with my wife, and, you know, if we didn't have kids, we'd probably be, you know, I'd still be smoking cigarettes and pulling myself up to a bar seat, like in the evenings. Right. And that would be our lives. And so without them in my life, I wouldn't be where I am today doing what I'm doing.
Yeah. I think people either step up to that responsibility and become better people, or sometimes they degenerate further. I mean, it's not always going to make people a saint to have a child, but it is a huge impetus to change. Cause I remember my cousin saying that too, when he had a son. He's like, I had to get my like professional life in order because I realized I had to make child support payments. You know, he didn't stay together. He didn't stay together with his, you know, first wife. And so it did kind of force him to organize himself, you know, and sometimes that's a good thing.
Sometimes, yeah, it's what you need, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Brandon, thanks so much for coming on and sharing some of your insight. We will put a link to your website in the show notes for this episode, and people can catch up with you and listen to your podcast.
Outstanding. Yeah. Thank you so much. You know, there's guests such as yourself that are on there that are already out there doing and sharing their wisdom and you know, doing a lot of good just in the same way that you are. And hopefully that as people listen to this one, they're able to find a couple of pieces of practical application that you can use today that leads to what a lot of people may call woo-woo.
Yeah. All about practical stuff.
That's right.
And woo-woo stuff.
I love it all. Right. You know, and again, you know, let's be approachable about it. If you come up to me and you're like, oh, I just don't see it that way. Listen, that's fine. You don't have to. That's okay. I get it. Yeah. You're not at a space where you resonate with me. And that's totally cool too. I call it, you know, just for what it's worth, right? Spiritual speed dating, right? People are checking in. If it works for you, cool. If not, move on to the next space and place that works for you.
Blessed listener, please leave your questions or comments for this episode at disembodiedpodcast.com. We appreciate you. Thanks for listening.